Okay, good morning, world. Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tesvav. And we are holding in the middle of the sugya of the limud of Sochir Sochir. I would really like to go over a little bit of the background of all of this with you, but I hate doing it when people are not present. So let's just remember that Be'ikar, we have a question that the Gemara is asserting that there's a machlokas about whether there was agreement on the Gezeira Shava of Sochir Sochir. Now, that Gezeira Shava is actually quite broad because it integrates three separate sugyas, even though right now we're only talking about two sugyas. But the truth is, in the end, we're going to see there's a third sugya that's interrelated with it. Right now, we just want to know, is the din of a mocher atzmo the same as the din of mochruhu bezdin? Now, in both cases, we have the Torah using the word sochir, because when it comes to someone who is mocher atzmo, and then he gets a ha'anaka at the end, he gets this big tip at the end, it says there, kimishnat schar sochir avatcha sheshanim, and therefore should give him a big tip. And then we have the other pasuk, so that's talking about the guy who actually was a mocher atzmo, where it says kiyomuch achicha v'nimkar. So in that case, it says kisachir v'toshav yeimach. And in the case of the big tip, it's talking about mishnes char sachir. That's talking about kiyimacher lecha. Kiyimacher lecha means someone else sold him to you, and that's talking about the case of Mochru Bezdin. Now, when we get our full contingency together, I'll go over with you the various parshios so that it can become clear. But now let's just take it as the pashtas. We have two different places. One is Nimkar Ayudei Bezdin, and one was the case of the Mocher Atzmo. The case of the Nimkar Bezdin that we're referring to is in Re'e, and the case of the Mocher Atzmo that we're referring to is talking about in Parshas Bahar. At the end of Bahar, you remember we have all of those discussions about somebody who sells himself to a Jew, sells himself to a guy, sells himself to the church. Okay, those were the basic ideas. Now, there were four issues that came up, and we thought that those four issues, because of the difference between the Tanna Kamma and Rebbe Elazar, that was dependent in whether we learn out Mocher Atzmo from a Nimkar LeBezdin. What were those four issues? So first issue number one was, is there a din of Sheish Shanim? That your Oved for Sheish Shanim is that specific din in Mochru Bezdin, which is what the story is in Mishpatim, where we first meet this concept of Sheish Shanim, or is that also extended to someone who sells himself for whatever time? So it's a guy wants to sell himself for 10 years, is there anything that is wrong with that? Or is the Sheish Shanim a description of all types of Eved Ivri? That was question number one. Then we had the other question about whether if you want to stay as an Eved Ivri, is there a din of Ritziyah? The din of Ritziyah obviously is said on the Pasuk that talks about going out B'Sheish. So therefore, if the Nimkar Yedei Bezdin is Nirtza, then the question would also be, would there be a din of Ritziyah on the case of someone who sells himself? Because especially if you hold that he doesn't go out B'Sheish, then the whole thing doesn't exactly add up. Then we had another question, and that was about the Ha'anaka. Remember, the Ha'anaka is that big tip that you have to give him. So is the din of Ha'anaka said specifically in the case of Nimkar Ayedei Bezdin, or is it also said in a case of Mocher Atzmo? And then the final case is whether the Eved is allowed to marry a Shivcha. And that, again, they're all interrelated because the Ahavti et Adoni v'et Ishti and so on, that's where it's talking about the Shivcha. And the justification for giving a big tip is because of the fact that you had this guy working at night making you babies that you could keep with the Shivcha Kananit. So that is the question, does that also apply? So again, Is a mocher atzmo yotze b'shesh? Is a mocher atzmo nirza? Is a mocher atzmo zochet ha'anaka? Is a mocher atzmo allowed to marry a shivcha? Those four issues. And we took for granted that the machlokas between the Tanakama, who says, no, they're different in it, and Rebbe Elazar, who says, no, they're all the same, that revolves around exactly this simple question. Do I learn out because of the gzera shava of the Lashon of Sachir, Toshav v'Sachir, or Mishnat Schar Sachir? Do I learn one out from the other or not? That was the simple way of explaining it. So we took for granted that what that means is that there's this fundamental issue, do we Doresh Sachir Sachir or not? Apparently not everyone holds it. Now, yesterday we began an exploration of whether there is an alternative to that approach, and that that's not the machlokas. And actually, it was Abaye who suggested, he's quoted here by Rav Tevyomi, but it was Abaye who suggested that these four dinim are actually unique. They have nothing to do with the general machlokas of Sachir Sachir. Each one of them is based on a specific diuk in that sugya that is memayit, according to the Tanakama, the Meicher Atzmo, and according to Rebbe Elazar, because either we have another Pasuk, or because he is in Derish, whatever, as we'll see, and I'll leave it to Rebbe Elazar, is not memayit, the case of the Meicher Atzmo. Now, we had a chance yesterday only to look at the first of these, and that was, is a Meicher Atzmo Nimkar Yoter Mishesh, if he wants to. So that, we said, is dependent on the word ve'avadcha. Ve'avadcha, you, sir. You, sir, who bought your eved from Bezdin. That's what it says, not ve'avad, but ve'avadcha. Particularly you, who bought this eved from Bezdin, there's where we have avadcha sheshanim. But in the case where not you, but someone who bought him from himself because he needed the money, on that, we do not have a din of sheshanim, and that whatever the amount of years is, that's fine. So we were arguing about the avdecha sheshanim in the second pasuk, which is said in Re'e. There are two places. I'm going to go over this again with you later. But there are two places where we talk about mochru bezdin. One is the beginning of Mishpatim, which is talking about ki yimacher. Just like in Re'e, we have a ki yimacher. We'll talk about the exact psukim later. In both of those cases, we have the mentioning of giving the guy a big tip, right? So in Re'e, it says, give the guy a big tip. And then it says, and don't feel bad about giving a big tip, because he was working for you extra. And there it uses the word avatcha. He did double the normal work, avatcha. So there we have two places where it says, avatcha sheshanim. And that's the question. We had this beautiful machlokas that, according to Rebbe Elazar, you have to hear the pasuk in the Torah as it's meant to be heard by you, not as a cold, stripped-down analysis of the abstraction. And since that pasuk is trying to give over a way to look at leaving a tip to this guy, it's not meant to be Dorish as an extra avatcha. It's meant to be talking to you, exactly. This guy worked for you, you idiot. And he did double the work that you normally would have gotten, and that's not right for you to start resenting giving him a tip. So that doesn't have any implications for you as opposed to someone else. It's you as you, not you as opposed to someone else. That's how Rebbe Elazar understands it, right? An amazing way of seeing the pasuk. Okay, so there we have that special case. Now, the next case is four lines up from the bottom on Yudal and Amud Beis. So case number two, the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar is about whether Ritziat Ozen applies only to a Nimkar Bebezdin, or Ritziat Ozen applies to even a Mocher Atzmo. Let's say that a Mocher Atzmo would be limited indeed to the number of years that he had been sold for, and then he says, I don't want to go out. Does he go out at the end of the period automatically, no matter what? Or can there be this new kinyan of Ritzia that is Kenehim all the way up until Yovel? Okay. The Idach, this is where we got up to. My time, the Tanakama. Diom Rabokhratzbo Eno Nirza. So why did the Tanakhama hold, if he does darshan socher socher, as Abai is claiming, why is the mocher atzmo not nirtza? Because since the Torah said in the case of the mochruhu beit din, back in Mishpatim, v'ratza adunavet ozno b'martzeya, why does it say ozno, his ear? To tell me only his ear, and not lo ozno shel mocher atzmo. So that is a specific miut. Aha. And what indeed is Rebbe Lazar going to do with those words, ozno? He says, well, everybody knows what that ozno is coming. That's that famous gezeira shava that we find in the Braita, Rebbe Eliezer Omer. How do we know that when we do ritzia, we use the right ear specifically? Because since over here by ritzia it says ozen, and it says ozen in the case of tzoras, where he's supposed to, we put the blood on his ear and the shemen on his ear. So just like when we're talking about where it says there, ozno hayimanit beferish, by the case of the mitzera, so shavkan yamin, but I don't have the word ozno left over to tell me ozen shalo, velo ozen shalo mocher atzmo. And the Ratana Kama, they say, what does that have to do with it? There's two drushes here. One is from the word ozen. Which ozen? Fine, that's ozen, ozen. But what's this ozno? That's telling me his ear and not someone else's ear. Who's the someone else? Someone who was mocheret atzmo. Is there someone else? That's a good point, Rebbe Lazar. How do you explain that? No, I need ozno to tell me ozno velo ozna. There's no din of ritzia on an ear of an Oma Ivriya. Remember that we have five different parshas that we're talking about over here in our Mishnah. We have the Mocher Atzmo to a Yisrael. We have the Mocher Atzmo to a Goy. We have the Nimkar al Yedei Beit Din. We have the Nirtza, who has a completely different halacha of Yitzia. And we have the Oma Ivriya, five different cases. So we need to know that the case of the Oma Ivriya is not affected by Ritzia. Hey, that's a very powerful point. So how does the Tanakhama know that? He knows that because the case of Ritzia begins with Ve'im Yomar Ha'Evet. The Evet says, Ahavti et Adoni. That's not, why does it say Evet? Obviously, Evet. Isn't that what we're talking about? No. He's stressing Ha'Evet Velo Ha'ama, that an Oma cannot choose to opt in to additional period of avdus. That's also important. So how does Rebbe Lazar, how does he use that word Eved? V'idach, that is coming to tell me that the Eved needs to opt in to additional avdus while he is still working for the guy. But if the 6 years were already up and he was Yotze, and then he comes back the next day and he says, I don't like living this way. I need to be back with you. It's too late because he was already Yotze. So that's why we need that. So how does the Tanakhama know that? That the Eved, while he's an Eved, that's because it says Yomar Ha-Eved. Why does it say? We could just say Im Yomar Eved. And what about Rebbe Lazar? Rebbe Lazar says we don't darshan places where the Torah speaks in normal language. You're talking about the Eved that we just spoke about. So the fact that theoretically you could have taken away the whole context and just say, and if an Eved says. I mean, but that's not it. We're talking about this particular guy. So if this guy that I just told you is supposed to be Yotze B'Sheish, if he says. So that's not an extra word. That's given. Okay. So that means we have two cases that we're saying are special cases. The Din of Sheish, that's only said by Machru Bezdin, according to the Tanakhama, and the Din of Ritzia, which is only said by Machru Bezdin, according to the Tanakhama. Special psukim in both of these. Now, the third question. The third question was about Ha'anaka, the big tip. Okay, the Tanakhama says there's no din of tipping a Mocher Atzma. So he said Mocher Atzma in Ma'anikinma. And you're claiming that he still holds of Socher Socher, and that we ought, therefore, to learn out the din of Ha'anaka from a Machru Bezdin to someone who is Mocher et Atzma. Why is there, therefore, a special, where is the special pasuk? According to the Tanakhama, Mocher Atzmo, Ein Ma'anikin Lo, that's because it says in the case of the Mochru Beitin Ha'anek Ta'anik Lo. So this is in Re'e, where it says, Ki Yimacher Lecha. Yimacher Lecha means that Bezdin sold him to you. So in that case, it says, Lo, give him a tip. But that's Lo V'lola Mocher Atzmo, specifically to this case of Ki Yimacher Lecha. And Rebbe Lazar, who says, no, it doesn't mean that. What does he explain it as? Ahumi boy lay lo v'loli orshav. That in the event that the Eved dies before he got the tip, you do not need to give that tip to his Yorshim. It's a special din in the relationship to the Eved. Again, the concept of the intimacy of Baalut in the case of Eved with its relationship to Oma Ivriya. The intimacy means this is a relationship between me and him. It's not money that I owe him. So since we're talking about a tip, I don't give the tip to his kids. It's not like just cash. That's the point. So it means don't give it. You don't need to give it to his heirs. Now, is that true? Yorshav? I mean, why wouldn't we give it to Yorshav? Doesn't the Torah call him Sachir? It said, Ki mishne schar sachir. I mean, certainly, if you have money that you owe to pay a guy who's a hired worker by the day or whatever, of course, if he died, I mean, you don't get to keep the money you owe him. You've got to give it to his heirs. So why, in this case, we should say, if we're comparing him to a sachir, it's an af haipula tole yorshav. Okay, that's true. All right, so fine. Then let me change that. The reason that Rebbe Lezer says lo is needed is to tell me lo v'lo l'bal chovo. It means that the tip goes to him, but he owes money to somebody else. I can't go to that third party and say to that party, all right, I was going to tip my Eved, you know, but I heard he owes you money, so here's his tip. You can't do that. And why do I think that you could do that? I don't understand. What, in general, you're allowed to give someone else's money away? I mean, it's your business if he owes a third party money? Ah, it is your business. Where's that? That is called Shibude de Reb Nosson, is what it's called. And that, I think, was a clear Gavi principle at some point in the past. So that's called Shibude de Reb Nosson. And in general, the halacha would be that since Minisfir Lomba Amak Rebbe Nosson, Rebbe Lazar says, look, generally, we would follow the bright of Rebbe Nosson. The Tanya Om Rebbe Nosson Minayin Lo Noshe Bechavero Mone Bechavero Bechavero. How do we know that in a case where A owes money to B and B owes money to C, that how do we know that we can take the money directly from A and pay it to C, and that he can't say, oh, wait a minute, I never saw C in my life. Why am I paying money? Why are you telling me to pay money to C? That's none of your darn business. This money is ultimately owed to C. So the Minayin, how do we know that we take it from A and give it to C? Talmud Lomar, V'natam La'asher Ashamlo. You do it to, the money goes to the person that ultimately is owed the money. That's the additional Ashamlo. Therefore, comes along the Pasuk to say, in the case of Ha'anaka, this is a tip. You do not give a tip to someone, to people that he owes money to. That's awful. That's like a sort of, I mean, it undoes the whole issue, right? Yeah, I'm giving you a tip by paying off the people that are taking you to court. That's not a tip. So then how does the Tanakhama know that then? The Tanakhama doesn't know the Shibuddha the Rav Nosson. So he doesn't need a pasuk to tell me that then, because the guy would look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean? You're going to give my money to somebody else? You have no right to do that. So if you don't hold the Rav Nosson, it's true. You have no right to do that. So why do I need a pasuk to say don't give his tip to somebody else? Okay, and what was the fourth din? Whether you can give an Eved who was Mocher Atzmo, can you give him a Shivcha Knanit? The Tanakhama says no. And now we're claiming that we learn out Sachir Sachir, and that a Mocher Nimkar Bebezden is going to teach us the same dinim applied to a Mocher Atzmo. So we certainly know that there's a din of a Shivcha Knanit, Imadun Avyiten Lo Isha. So why would it not appear also, if we hold of Socher Socher, why would it not apply to a Mocher at Atzmo? Ah, that's not because we don't know the Socher Socher, says Abaye. It's because we have a special pasuk, Miyet Rachmane Gabi Mochru Bezdin, that in the case of the Mochru Bezdin, in Shmos, in Mishpotim, Im Adonav Yitein Lo Isha, what is there, Lo Isha? Lo velo la mocherat atzmo. The heter to give a woman for him to reproduce with for the Baal is only in the case of Nimkra Yedei Beis Din. And what exactly, if that's an actually a very good raya, no? How does Rabbi Elazar learn that? Lo means on him, meaning it's none of his business. He could sit there and complain, please do me a favor, I need my sleep. The last thing I need is some crazy Shivcha Knanis in my bed. Tough. That's what lo means. Tough. Baal Korcho, this is part of the job. Okay, so that is a Chiddush. So how does the Tanakama, who uses lo to tell me dafka lo nimka bebezden and not lo shmocheret atzmo? He says, well, obviously, the Torah said he worked for you double, right? So if he works for you double, meaning that he's working for you in the nighttime as well, so then that means that he can be forced, because of the same way that he's forced to work in the day, I mean, that's the deal. Then he's forced to work at night. That's what it's coming, that I know that already. Then I know Miki Mishneh Sachir, the Tanya. It says in the Pasuk that Mishneh Sachar Sachir Avatcha, and he deserves a break, and you should give him a tip, right? Sachir, after all, if you would hire somebody to work for you, he's only working for you in the daytime. But if you buy an Eved Ivri, he's working for you in the nighttime. Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. Now, what do you think that means? I mean, what do you think that means? That you can have him wash the car in the middle of the night? Is that what you think it means? It's usher to do that. As you know, we learn out beferish ki tov lo imach. Tov lo imach means, that's why he's saying, lo etzeim imach, ki ahevcha, he loves you. Ki tov lo imach, it's great to be with you for him. That means imach, again, is mechayev of you, this intimacy is mechayev of you to treat him the way that you treat yourself. Imach b'machal, imach b'mishteh. Listen here, you're going to drink talisker and you're going to give him some crummy Jack Daniels? Absolutely not. I can see Richie thinking about this. If you drink talisker, he drinks talisker. If you're getting to sleep at 9 o'clock at night, he's getting to sleep at 9 o'clock at night. So, imach b'machal, imach b'mishteh, and it cannot mean that he works at night. So, what in the world is the pasuk saying? He worked double. It obviously means, Amrib Yitzhak, you see from here, he works at night at making babies. So, that is beferish in that pasuk. I don't need the case of extra pasuk of the lo, so therefore we have that anyway. It can be done. Baal Korcho says you got him to work for you, and so what does Rabbi Elazar say? Rabbi Elazar says no. If I would have learned it from there, I would have said yes. It says that he works for you at night, but it doesn't say you can force him to work for you at night. Maybe he has to agree. I mean, it is a little personal, you know, when you're going to force this guy to be sleeping with this particular woman. I mean, say, look, buddy, this is your job. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch, isn't it? So therefore, I still need that Baal Korcho, maybe not. Therefore, I need the pasuk. Lo, even if he's screaming and yelling and he refuses to do this, it's too bad for him. This is part of the job. Parnei, I now have people that have real drinks, okay? It's a whole different world.
It's a decoy. It's a whole, Rebbe actually drinks it. It's just the decoy. Oh, the world's open. Oh, I'm holding it.
It's a whole different world out there, Barnea.
I know the trick. I got it.
Okay, so now we have four different cases where Sachir does not apply according to Abaye, but everybody theoretically still agrees with Sachir. So, all right. So now how, I don't see the chats. Is there a way to get a chat to tell you the whole thing? I don't know what that, what do you mean midaito?
He's asking, is it only midaito?
No, he's not saying that. No. Where, I don't know where he would get. Where does he get that from? Why would we? No, we don't. That's the whole Gemara. We don't say only midaita. No, that's what we're saying. We force him to take the Shivcha Knanit. Oh, you're saying that he can only reproduce midato because ain kishri elamidas. Yeah, it doesn't mean that he's not turned on sexually, so he'll still be able to reproduce. It just means if he doesn't want to have this woman as a partner, it's too bad. Fine. Obviously, there's no way to force him to actually hormonally respond, but that would figure put him into a situation where he will respond if he doesn't want to. Okay. So now we don't know who we're referring to. We've been talking about, what about according to the man, the armor who doesn't hold a socher socher? I'm really curious now. Who does not hold a socher socher? Ah, I'll tell you who it is. It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in the Braita, the Tanya. Vishav el mishpachto. Omer Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Bima hakatuv midaber. All right, before we learn this, I insist on your getting familiar with the various psukim, because otherwise it's just going to be just a ridiculous waste of time, because there's so many different parashas and so many diukim. If you'll take out your chumash, then we'll be in much better shape. So if you've got yourself a little Tanakh or a Koran, remember Mishpatim. Mishpatim begins in Shmos, Chaf Aleph, turn to right off the bat, ki tikne eved ivri, sheish shanim yavod, ubashvit yetzela chofshi chinam. So it's not when an eved came to you to be bought, it's when you bought. How do you buy? You can't go to an eved store, but you can go to the bezden, and you're buying from bezden someone who needed to be sold in order to pay back his geneva. So there we have Sheshanim, that was the first issue. Im Adonav Yiten Lo Isha, that was the last issue that we talked about. Im Omor Yomara Eved Ahavti Et Adoni Et Ishti Et Banai. What happens then? Yigishol Adelet Ratza Adonav Et Ozno B'Matzea Ve'Avado Le'Olam. So there we have the halacha of Ritziah. We then get into the next parsha in Mishpatim, the very next psukim. V'chi yimkor ish et bito la'ama, lo tetze kitze ta'avadim, im ra'a be'enei adoneo, asher lo yada ve'hevda. So we've been darshaning this word ve'hevda all along. It means that he has to be migareya mipidyona, and that there was an alternative, ya'ada, that he can utilize that money. But there's a third din. And that means that she is Yotze also b'simanim, as opposed to the way the other avadim are Yotze. And then, im shlosh ela lo yasela, so he does not miyayet her himself, she doesn't have any money for him to be allowing her to be paid to himself, and he hasn't given it to a son, then she goes out chinam en kasev, that's the din of Yitzia b'shesh. Okay, two parshias of our very complex sugya right there at the beginning of Mishpatim. Now let's move on to the close to the end of Vayikra, right before Bechukotai. You will recall that for some crazy reason, in the middle of talking about Bahar Sinai and so on, we suddenly move to all of the dinim of someone who is poor and is sold to you. Okay, so there, if we take a look in Vayikra Chof Hei, and you go to Shishi, in Pasuk Lamed Tet, look what it says. So over here, someone is poor, he's sold to you, kesachir v'toshav, there we go, sochir, sochir, kesachir v'toshav yiye imach, and this is all of the dinim of being yotze, ad shnat hayovel yavodimach. So this, of course, in the context of Bahar, is a din that's coming to tell me yovel. Now, we're going to have to figure out why we need this new halacha here. But it does say, kesachir v'toshav yeimach. Okay. Then we also have the next parsha, which begins in Pasuk in Shvi, Pasuk Mem Zayin, v'chitasig yad ger v'toshav imach u'mach achicha imo v'nimkar l'ger toshav imach l'ekar mishpachat ger So how about if he sells himself to a goy? What's the din over there? Hachare nimkar geulati elo. Oh, now this is very interesting. This is the first time that we've spoken about this concept of geula. We had vehevda, remember? And we darshan vehevda back in Mishpatim, that means that there's a din of migarat bipidyonat, and we understood that to be a mocker, that she's nikna bekesev because she buys herself back bekesev. Remember all these complex interrelated halachas. We never called it geula because it was done by the person buying himself back. Here, when we're talking about someone who was sold to a goy, we're talking about people coming to the rescue. So that's called geula, which is a somewhat different concept. And therefore, maybe it is a special din for someone who was sold to a goy, because we don't want him learning from this goy. We don't want him in the end becoming assimilated. And so because of that, we try to get him out of there. So maybe that's a special din of someone who was sold to the Eker Mishpacha Ger, where he's sold to the church itself. So there, even though he was sold, Gulati Yellow, now we're not allowed to do anything illegal to take him away from the goy. But what we can do is insist on repaying the goy on a prorated basis for what it is that he had paid. And that should be done by his cousins, his uncles, Ododo, O Ben Dodo Yigalenu, or some relative, Misha'er Bisaro, Mimishpachto Yigalenu, O Hisiga Yado Vinig Al. I want you to look very carefully at that pasuk, please. There's three different things that are mentioned over there. O dodo, o ben dodo, o mishar bisaro, that's talking about relatives, right? Then, o hisiga yado, that's talking about where he managed to get money together to be able to buy himself out, that we will force this guy to accept on a prorated basis his buying himself out. And then what's that last word? Vinigal. He ended up being bought out. Now, that's obviously talking about a third case. So case one was relatives. Case two was he buys himself out. Case three is someone random was goel him. So we've got these three inyanim, and they're all in the context of the din of someone who sold himself to a goy. Now, continue to read, and we'll see that we get a third sakhir. So sakhir applies in a number of places. It applies to be able to, the next pasuk reads, b'mispar shanim ki mei sakhir yiyeimo. So that's how we take the chishavim koneuim shnat hayovel. What did you pay as the hiring of his work? Divide the number of the money by the number of years, and that's what you reduce it by. But it uses the word kimei sakhir. So that means there are three sakhirs that we're darshaning. We're darshaning one sakhir from the case of Nimkar Bebezdin, where it's in the parsha of Ha'anaka, that he's given you a good double what a sakhir would give you and deserves better treatment than that. Give him a big tip. Come on, boy. Right? And then we've got the sakhir of someone who sells himself, stam, to a normal Jew. And then we have the third one, which is talking about the case of someone who sells himself to a goy. There, too, it says sakhir. All of this is in Parshat Behar, at the very end. Now, please move on to Re'eh, where we have yet a third parsha. And it's essential that we know the parsha as well to be able to understand this back and forth of all of these complex halachas. So in Re'eh, what we find over there in the that's a Tesvav Yudbeis. So this is towards the end. This is a Shishi of Re'eh. Ki yimacher lecha achicha ha'ivri ha'ivriya ve'avadecha sheshanim uvashana ha'sheviit eshachenu chofshi mi'imach. Okay, yimacher lecha means someone sold him to you. So what are we talking about? A nimkar bebezden. Again, here in Re'eh. And this is the parsha of Ha'anaka, which is Ha'anek Ta'aniklo. You got to give him Mitzomecha, Mikonecha, Mi'igvecha, and so on. And then we have once again the parsha of Retzia. V'haya. Ki yomar elecha lo etzei miyimach. V'lakachta ta marzea. V'natata bozno v'adelet. V'haya lecha eved olam. Then it says, af la'amatecha ta'asekein, which sounds like we put an awl through the ear of an Amma Ivriya. But we will see that it bedavka does not mean that. It means af la'amatcha du ha'anaka. So when you're sending her out, she too gets a tip. Okay. Then we have that fateful pasuk that we darshaned earlier, where Rebbe Elazar says, this pasuk is talking to you and cannot be used as an extra drasha. Lo yikshev einecha b'shalaychacha oto. Don't feel bad about this man. Ki mishne sar schar sachir. Here we go. So here we talk, once again, we have our word sachir, and we have that word avadecha, and that avadecha was the machlokas between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim about what the din would be. Is it dafka to you, meaning a nimkar bebezdin, or to anyone? Okay, so now we've got a number of open questions. One of the most striking is the fact that the din of ododo o ben dodo yigalenu was mentioned only in the context of someone who was nimkar to a goy, right? Oleik or mishpachat ger, that's the simple meaning of it. And yet in that pasuk, as we saw, we have also a sort of complex situation. There's geula by krovim, there's geula by himself, hisiga yado, and there's yigal nigaal, which means some random individual bought him out. You'll note that the pasuk never says, and what happens? What happens if he's bought out? I mean, if he buys himself out, obviously he goes free. I mean, he paid for himself. But what happens if you, a non-relative, you go and you buy him? I mean, are you doing him a favor just getting him free and you're paying all that money? Or are you buying him to work for you instead of working for a goy in order to protect him from assimilation? Gosh, that's very unclear. So is the geula from the goy, or is the geula from the avdus bichlal? That's the issue. How about if a relative buys him out? I think, Alon, you're missing some of your minion over there in Rome, wherever you are in Italy there. So maybe you would want to tune in here, where we've got a minion. Okay. Fine.
I don't see why that in this pasuk here in Bahar, here's the person and the verb, the person and the verb, the person and the verb. So I don't know why the Benigal is standing out.
Because we don't need it. We don't need it. What do you mean, Benigal? Obviously, that's what you just said.
Why do we need any of the other two?
My thing.
Say it once. It's a balance.
I have no idea what you're referring to. How do I know that you could force a guy to sell out an evet that he legally bought? So the fact that the evet can buy himself out is a chiddush. The fact that a relative could come along and that he, I mean, okay, that's a chiddush, but what, stam, you're going to allow a relative could come along and can buy him out. The guy could say, I don't want to sell him. I don't understand. I legally bought someone. Now you're telling me I have to sell him to somebody else? Why? And then we have an unnecessary, and he was nigal. Well, of course, that's what we're talking about. And what's that third case? All right, okay, it's not good to argue about it now. I'm just giving you an overview. We haven't even gotten to it yet. So let's first take a look. Now that I've given the background, let's move on to the Gemara, where the Gemara says, okay, so who is the famous mystery man? Will he please stand up? Man tana de lo yalev socher socher. So who is this? Hi, Tano. First, we suggest it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because it says in the bright over here, v'shav el mishpachto. So this was at the end, which we talked about a moment ago, at the end of Behar, and it seems to be talking about someone who sold himself. But there's no need for that, as we'll see. So says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, who do you think it's talking about over here? Is it talking about the guy who sells himself that is Yotze B'Yovel? Harei Kfar Amur? The Pasuk, immediately before that, said, Achnat Ayovel Yavodimok. You can't get more clear than that, can you? So it says if he got poor and he sells himself, he only works Achnat Ayovel. So why do we need another Pasuk, right? And there it said, V'chiyamuch achichavinim kalak. So that is obviously a guy who got poor and sold himself. Now what is this new Pasuk? V'sham vel mishpachto. Sarei kvar amur. If it's talking about someone who went through Ritzia to tell me that he goes out at Yovel, I know that already. We'll see. The Gemara is going to say, how do I know that already? Because the only thing it said in the Pasuk is Ad Olam. How do we know Ad Olam means Ad Yovel? Fine. That we'll get to. So what's left? Ha'ena katuv ben daber, ela ben becharuhu beit din, shtayim v'shalosh shalom ifnei ha'yovel. So then we have no choice. There's only one case left. The case that's left is that Beis Din sold him. But wait, if Beis Din sold him, he already went out at the end of 6 years before Yovel. True. But what happens if Yovel comes in the middle of those 6 years? What's the din then? So Beis Din sold him, let's say, 2-3 years before Yovel. And then comes along Yovel, even though he never worked for 6 years, Yovel actually is motzi him. Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I suggest, says the Gemara, that this Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is by definition not darshaning sachir sachir. Why? Because Isakatatach Yalif sachir sachir. If Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov does hold of the Gezerah Shavah, so then why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a nimkar bebezdin is yotze biyovel? I would learn that from Sachir Sachir. Since we've compared a Nimkar Bebezdin to someone who's Mocher Atzmo, this is using it in the opposite direction. But obviously it goes in both directions, Xerishav. So if the Torah told me the din of Yotze B'Yovel for someone who sells himself, so clearly it was Yotze B'Yovel if Bezdin sold him. What's the Nafkamina? If Rebbe Eliezer needs a special pasuk to tell me his Yotze, he doesn't hold of Sachir Sachir. Omer Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, no, I don't think that it's a proof. Maybe he does have a Sacher Sacher. Li'olam Yaliv Sacher Sacher, and he still thinks that I need a special pasuk. Why? Because Salka Daitach Amina, I might have thought, look, Mocher Atzmo, Hudolo Avad Isura. It's basically, he didn't do anything, he was just poor. It ain't a crime to be poor. And therefore, he's Yotze B'Yovel. But Becharu Beit Din, the whole reason that he was sold is because he is a robber, and therefore he deserves to. Crime doesn't pay, and therefore he's got to pay. So Ema Niknase. Crime does pay, but only if you're a lawyer. So Ema Niknase. So then maybe we would give him a knas, and he should actually have to work through the Yovel as well, because, I mean, he's working to pay back the person that he stole from. So what I understand, why should he go out by Yovel? He still has a few years to work in order to be able to pay back the victim. So what, we're gonna now let him go early and the victim doesn't get paid back? Does that make sense? That's why Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, listen, I generally would hold to the Gezerah Shavah, but you can ask a question on the Gezerah Shavah unless it's Muf the Mishnei Tzadim. And so I don't think that the Zereshav applies in this case. That's all. Okay. So just before we get on with finding out who the mystery Tana is, yes, indeed, the mystery deepens. But before we get on to the exciting question of was it the butler, we first want to understand the Braita. The Braita says, if it could be talking about a Nirtzah Yotze B'Yovel, it already said a Nirtzah Yotze B'Yovel. Where? Where does it say that? All it says is Avado La'Olam. That's back in Mishpatim, right? Where does it ever say anything about a Nirtzah Ad Yovel? Mai. Ah, the Tanya. V'shaftem ish el achuzato, v'ish el mishpachto, v'kidashtem, it starts over there, kidashtem et shnat ha'chamishim shana, Yovel Hulachem, Vishavtem, Ishal Akuzato, the Ishal Mishpachto. That's the introduction of the Dinim of Yovel and Bahar, right? Now, the question over here is, who's it talking about? Who should go out by Yovel? Ibamocher Atzmo. I know that already. Harei Kvar Amur. That's what we just learned out Achnata Yovel Yavodimach. So what do I need a special pasuk to tell me in Yovel everybody goes free? It says beferish in that parsha that in Yovel he goes free. So can't be talking about a mocheratzmo. Harei kvar amur. If it's talking about mochru beit din, well, harei kvar amur, we said that we learned that from v'shava mishpachto that we had also in Bahar. Therefore, what's it talking about? It said beferish that he was Yovel Motzi'o. So what is it talking about, therefore? It's got to be talking about a Nimkar Bebezdin. A Nirtza, and the case over there was that he was Nirtza. I don't care how he was Nirtza, but he was Nirtza, and he's supposed to be working Ad HaYovel. And Yovel comes in 2 years later, 3 years later. Now, you would have thought that there's a minimum of Ritzia that should be, okay, I mean, at least let him work 6 years because he's now redoing the original sale. So we need to know that Afal Pikein, he goes out B'Yovel no matter what. So now we have a Makar that Anirtza is Yotze B'Yovel. Okay, so then that means we've got two psukim. Shav El Mishpachto, Ish El Mishpachto, two psukim. One was talking about where he was Nimka B'Bezdin. The other one is talking about Anirtza. Why did we learn it that way? Why didn't we learn it the other way? What makes you say that it's in that direction? My mashma, which one is the Nimkar Bebezdin and which one is the Nirtza? Omar Rava Bar Shila, I'll tell you why. Because that brighta, what did it say? Ish El Mishpachto. Now, why does it stress Ish? What does it have to do with whether he's male or female? Ah, exactly. Ezeu Dava Shenoig Be'ish Ve'inanoig Be'isha. There is something that only would apply to an ish. What's that? Ritzi'ah. An alma is not nirtza'ah. And therefore, this we learned that out before. She cannot become a nirtza'ah. So it's only a male, a evet, not the alma. Okay, so that's why we understand that to be referring to ritzi'ah. But ain't a chinami. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anything particularly that identifies one pasuk as the nirtza and one pasuk by the standard mochru bezdin. Beautiful, no? Okay, so now we understand each pasuk in its constant. Now, the question is, why do we need a separate limud of Yovel to a nirtza and a separate pasuk that Yovel is motzi and nimka bebezdin? Can't we learn one from the other? No. Itzrich l'michtav mechru bezdin, v'itzrich l'michtav nirtza. The ashmina mechru bezdin, I would have said, okay, the reason over there is because, mishum de lo matai zimne, that if the yovel comes in the middle, I would have said, okay, he actually is, it's time now for him to leave. A nirtza, he already had opted in, even though his 6 years were up, he opted back in. So if he's going to opt back in, we should tell him, listen here, Mr. Opting In, how about if you opt until you drop dead, you know? This is what you want to do with your life. So stay here. Maybe we should be kainasim, and he shouldn't go out through Yovel either. You know what? You haven't even worked your 6 years. Work. V'yashmina nirtza, on the other hand, so let's say nirtza, I would say, look, a nirtza already served his term, right? So he paid his debt to society. Oh, God. Okay. So there's some kind of debt that one pays to society by their stealing your life and throwing you into jail for 20 years for breaking a window. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, mecharuhu beidin, de lo avad lashesh, mashenkein. The guy was sold in order to get the money. And over there, you shouldn't let him go at Yovel. So therefore, I need both of these psukim. Okay. We now know that a nirtza is yotze b'yovel because it says ish el mishpachto. But how do you explain the word la'olam? Right? I mean, la'olam is mashma forever. So what we understood is that la'olam means la'olam shel yovel. But we need both of those psukim, v'shaftem ish and ad olam. Because let's say if the Torah had written only in mishpatim the la'olam, I would have taken that at face value. He now becomes his Eved Le'olam. Yovel or no Yovel, forever. Therefore, Katrachman of Ashaftem, that the din is that even after Ritzia, he's Yotze. On the other hand, let's say it would have said Vashaftem in Yovel, I would have said, when would you say v'shaftem the yovel? That's dafka hechnalo avat sheish. But if he was already avat sheish shanim, so I would say, listen, the fact that he was repurchased by Ritzia, that's what we said in the Mishnah, the Nirtzis Nikna by Ritzia. So the fact that he was repurchased by Ritzia is not going to be more chomer than the original purchase. Just like the first purchase was limited to 6 years, so then a Nirtzah should be limited to 6 years. And if his 6 years are up before the Yovel, so he should be Yotze. Kamashman la'olam. But now we understand that la'olam means la'olamo shel Yovel. That even if the 6 years were over, each Yovel is a new reality. And the world goes through these iterations of the Chamishim Shana. Each one of them is a new world. So that's Le'olam. Oy vavoy, so we still don't know who our mystery Tana is. Ela man Tana de lo yolif sakir sakir. At last, we turn our attention. Who is the mystery Tana? It's the great Tana, Rebbe himself, the Tanya. How do I know that Rebbe doesn't hold of sakir sakir, the Tanya? So back to Bahar. What does it say? Im lo yigael be'ele. So then v'yatza b'shnat ha'yovel hu uvanav imo. What is the be'ele? That's the pasuk that comes after. Dodo o ben dodo yigaleno. O hisiga yado v'nigal. V'im lo yigael be'ele. So then he goes out in Yovel. So Rebbe says, what this means is that be'ele hu nigal, but einu nigal b'shesh. This comes to tell me that there's only a din of going out from a goy if the cousins come or if he gets money himself or somebody pays. But just because he worked 6 years, he is not yotze from a goy. Sheyochol, if it wouldn't have said be'ele, I would have thought it's a kal v'chomer. If someone who is not nigal be'ele, now get this, Rebbe's taking for granted that if someone sold himself, right, to a Jew, that he, in fact, could not be bought out. There would be no din of geula. And nonetheless, over there, we know that he is nigal b'sheish, it says b'feresh. So if that's the case, a nigal, in this case, I would have said that if the Torah says you can even be nigal with these dodo ben dodo, so obviously he should be nigal b'shesh. Talmud Lomer, no. Im lo nigal be'ele. These are the only options. Be'ele nigal. Be'ele nigal b'shesh. Now look, if Rebbe holds of sakir sakir, so then the second sakir sakir, which is the sakir to the Akum, where we also had the same lashon of Sakhir, so then we should say, let's learn out the Nimkar la'akum from the Nimkar li'Yisrael. Both of them should be Yotze b'sheish. And why did Rebbe say, no way he would be Yotze b'sheish, he would be Yotze be'ele, it should work backwards also. If the Nimkar la'goy is able to be podui through a cousin, so too would the Nimkar li'Yisrael. So am I kamer umami sheinu nigal be'ele? How does Rebbe use those words? Someone who cannot be redeemed by a cousin. Why not? Nelev socher socher. It says beferish in both cases, the loshan of socher. We had the famous Mishnah schar socher avadecha, and then in this case of the nimkela aku, we also request socher ketoshav yomach atchnat ayovel yavodimach. And here we have the same idea of the words that appear by the Akum as well. Kisachir shana b'shana yiyeh. Lo yudena b'ferach le'inecha. Three sachir sachirs, gentlemen. So obviously Rebbe doesn't hold of sachir sachir. That seems clear. On Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Maybe Rebbe also holds of sachir sachir. And he says that this is a unique case because the Torah said that we should not apply Sakhir Sakhir to the din of relatives coming along and buying him out. Why? Because it says Beferish, Dodo o Ben Dodo Yigalenu. What do you mean Yigalenu? Why yigalenu? Yigal. Yigalenu means only this case where he's working for a goy, but not for a case where he's working to someone else, just another Yisrael. Lezeh velo la'acher. So therefore, maybe even Rebbe holds of sacher sacher. I don't know anymore why we're making this a given, okay? Right, so remember that we had in the Pasuk three different situations. One was O Dodo, O Ben Dodo, Yigalenu. The other continues the Pasuk, O Sigayado, which means he got money on his own to buy himself out from the Goy. V'nigao, which is an unnecessary term, refers to a random person came along and purchased him. Then imlo yigal be'ele, if he won't go out with that, so then he'll be yotze b'yovel, right? Yotze b'yovel. Now, what exactly did that mean? So according to Rebbe, imlo yigal be'ele means this is the only way that he can get out, either through these or through yovel. But I'm taking for granted, says Rebbe, that there is no din of sheish when it comes to someone who sold himself to a goy. Now, we thought that we could use that fact to say that, according to Rebbe, we don't hold of sochir sochir, and we disproved that. We said that this pasuk means that even if there would be a sochir sochir, since it says, be'ele, these are the only options that you have, meaning that your relative or he himself or someone buys him out. But if not, there's no way that he can go out. That's what it is that we came up with. Now, not everybody agrees with that, because as we saw, there are those who hold that even a nimkar la'akum is actually yotze b'sheish. And I just want to review with you once again. We're getting into a sugya we've spoken about in terms of the pasuk five cases, but I want you to remember that the truth is we really have six cases. And we're going to be getting to that sixth case. And the six cases are the Shivcha Kenanit. And why is that different from an Eved Kenani? Because we have by the Shivcha Kenanit the words Ba, remember, in the Sugya of specifically a Shivcha Charufa. So, I mean, La, right? So we learn out Chufsha Lo Nitan La. And that gave us the La La Mi Isha. So we can't ignore that, because that was a very profound interrelationship of the dinim of Nashim that are Benogea Kiddushin and Gerishin. That's where we learned out the whole din of the Shtar Shichrur and so on. So let's recall, we've got six basic issues that we have to keep into consideration in darshaning all of these psukim. So we have various yitzias. So we have the yitzia Begira on Kesev in three different ways. Person buys himself out, a relative comes, someone else comes. We've got the yitzia of sheish, which we just had a machlokas, whether that applies to all cases, or perhaps a nimkal akum it doesn't apply to. We had a machlokas earlier, whether it applies dafka to nimka bebezdin, as opposed to a regular case. So that's the giroy and kesev. We had the dinim of hanoka that we weren't sure that they were precisely they applied, that we had a machlokas about the specifics on that, the din of ritzia, that applies in some cases and not in others, the din of misas ha'adain. We're going to see that there's even more that we come to today. But let's try to figure out who exactly is the shita that argues with Rebbe in this particular detail and holds that the din of yitzia b'sheish applies even to the nimkar Le'akum. And they're going to have to give a different explanation to the words imlo yigal be'ele than v'yatza b'yovel, because, well, what happened to the sheish shanim? Why are we ignoring that? Okay, so it turns out that it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. Take a look at this braita, where even though Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva disagree, but they're both obviously darshaning be'ele in ways differently than Rabbi darshan be'ele. And that is as follows. Of course, it would give us great encouragement if we could see the big N, but we'll hope for the best. And so, it says in the Braita like this, Im lo yiga el be'ele. What does that mean? So says Rabbi Yossi Haglili, That means Be'ele, he goes out in the event that they bought him, he goes out for free, meaning he doesn't have to work. What does that mean? Well, remember we had three cases. The three cases were Dodo ben Dodo, Hisiga Yado, and Niga'al. Now, we do understand that it's rather obvious that if this guy managed to get together money and he's able to buy himself out, then obviously he's not going to work for anybody when he buys himself out. That's what buying himself out means, okay? Suppose you are his cousin and you go and you pay money to the Odin to get him out. You don't want him to be working for a goy and to have him influenced by the goy, okay? But now you say, listen, I bought you out. I mean, I'm not mechuyev to throw my money out. I want you to work for me instead. So now you'll be my Eved Ivri and not the goy's Eved Ivri. So that's the question. Which one, or perhaps all, I don't know, but we certainly know if you buy yourself out, you're not going to work for anybody else. But which one of the remaining two, the cousin or the venigal, which is a random individual that comes along and he pays? So now, what if the random individual says, listen, I gave money to the guys so that you wouldn't be living there, but now I need you to work for me. I can't afford to just buy you out as an act of charity, you know? So I bought you out to work for me. What's the din? Where does he have to actually work and where not? So Rabbi Yossi says, Im lo yiga'el ba'ela means that one of the cases that we're talking about, for sure, besides the case of Atzmo, is going to be Yigael. He's going to be free. Who is that? That's Be'ele, the cases of the relatives, where it says Beferish Dodo ben Dodo. So there he's Yotze Lishichrur, and he does not have to work. But in the event that some random person, which is the last case in the Pasuk, Vinigaal, if a random individual paid money to get him out, that person can say, well, obviously, I mean, I paid money, but now he has to work for me. I took over the shibud of the guy, right? So, Bishar kol adam, b'shi'ibud. Rabbi Akiva says, come on, man, it's exactly the opposite. I mean, whenever relatives do anything for you, you know it's not going to be a good deal. So, I'm just kidding. I feel a little cynical. But that's in the end how Rabbi Akiva ends up darshaning the pasuk, but not because of cynicism. So, im lo yiga'el ba'ela, according to Rabbi Akiva, means the last one, meaning in the case of ba'ela, it would be actually l'shi'ibud. So if any of the relatives buy him out, he's got to work for the relative. But if somebody else comes along and buys him out, then he doesn't have to work. That's a little counterintuitive, and we're going to have to figure out where does Rabbi Akiva get that from. But in any event, both of them are saying that the word Be'ele is coming to teach that not all of the three listed cases are L'shichrur, right? So they're obviously not learning it like Rebbe, because Rebbe used Be'ele to tell me only Be'ele, meaning somebody bought him out, and not the case of Sheish. So they're disagreeing, and they hold that it is Yotze B'Sheish. That's why we said before, there's a machlokes in terms of Yetzia B'Sheish from someone who was purchased by a goy. My time in the Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So now it's really not our business right now, but once we're already into this sugya a little bit, what is the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and Rabbi Akiva? Well, says Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, look, it says, Im lo yiga'el be'ele. What does be'ele mean? The aforementioned people. Who was mentioned? Dodo, ben Dodo, right? She'ro ha'karov elav. Okay, those are all relatives. So those are the only ones that are mentioned specifically. So that's what the pasuk is saying. If it wasn't through these relatives of his, but rather someone else, some random individual came, ela ba'acher v'yatza b'shnat ha'yovel. So you see that if he was only bought by non-relatives, then he's got to wait until Yovel to go free. So who does he work for meanwhile? Meanwhile, he has to work for the other person that bought him. So that's very clear in the pasuk. And Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Akiva, right now he's a Rabbi Akiva, gives this weird, appears to be a very weird pshat. That Rabbi Akiva, Omer, that Im lo yiga'el be'ela be'ela, So if he wasn't redeemed by anyone else, but he was redeemed by these people, then he has to work for them, and it'll only be Yotze Bishnas Hayova. So in other words, if your relatives pay for you, you're going to have to work for them. And Rabbi Yosef Haglili says, obviously, Rabbi Akiva, that's crazy. I mean, it doesn't say Be'ela, Ela Be'ela, it says Be'ela. So, Midi Ela Be'ela? Where does it say that? How can you understand? You can't just throw in a word into the Pasuk. That's really very strange. So, therefore, Tanya's Rabbi Yosef, that it means exactly what I said. Okay, that's true. It's a little bit pushy to say that's the Rabbi Akiva Svara. So what is Rabbi Akiva Svara? Ela b'haikra kamifli. You know what the machlokas is? The machlokas is in the lashon of the pasuk. Let's take a look in detail. The pasuk starts with the words, O dodo, O vendo do yigaleno. Okay, that's clearly the krovim, right? It's saying beferish. Oh, your relatives. O isi gayado, that's clearly talking about your own money. So he managed to buy himself out. Ze geulat atzmo. And then it says, v'nig'al. Who's the v'nig'al? What's that referring to? V'nig'al is referring to geulat achirim. Some other person, a random person, a non-relative. That means that anybody who comes along has the right to insist, go to the goy and to insist, I'm giving his money, whatever he's worth, and that is going to force the guy to relinquish his zechus to him, and he's going to be free. But now the question is, the middle term, which is isiga yado, he buys himself out. That clearly means l'shichrur. The person paid his money, and now he owns himself, right? So how does that reflect on the situation before ododo ben dodo? And on the situation after, v'nigaal, which is anyone. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds, in general, that when we have a list of things in the pasuk, or psukim one after the other, we darshan the pasuk always in the previous, towards the previous limud. That's called mikra nidrash lifanav. So what does that mean? Geulat krovim, therefore, is being compared to geulat atzmo. Correct? Because the first thing is dodo ben dodo. The second thing is hisiga yado. And now hisiga yado is the same halacha as the dodo uben dodo, which means it's a given that gulat atzmo l'shichrur, and therefore gulat krovim is l'shichrur. Masha Enkein, according to Rabbi Akiva, he holds that fundamentally, if we have a list, then we use the pasuk to be dorish that which comes afterwards. So that's called mikra nidrash la'acharav. That means that the din of hisiga yado is now to be applied to the next case, which is v'nigal, which is the non-relative. So ma gulat atzmo l'shichrur, af gulat achirim l'shichrur. That's the machlokas. Wait a minute. What do you mean that's the machlokas? So then you said these were the two shitas that argue on Rabbi Akiva because they're fundamentally using the word be'ela to tell me be'ela is yotze biyovo. I don't understand. This has nothing to do with be'ela. This just has to do with straightforward the machlokas that we've had in many cases, mikra nidrash lefanav or mikra nidrash lefneifanav. What does this have to do with be'ela? So, Iochi, why did you tell me that these are the shitas that argue on Rebbe and they darshan Be'ela differently? It's not true. Be'ela lomeli. They don't need Be'ela to tell me the general din of Mikra Lefanav or Mikra La'acharav. I'll tell you why. Because if it wouldn't have been Be'ela, there would be nothing that would say that you've got to decide what you're referring to. Because the Torah is pointing to something and saying Be'ela with these. So, if not for that, I would have said, listen, the norm would be that one term in the pasuk should be able to define the context of the pasuk overall, and the mikra would be nidrash both lefanav and leacharav. So why would we limit it specifically if over here to only one case and not to another? You see, that's the point. And so comes along now the Be'ela tells me, well, you can't say that in this case, because Be'ela means only in one of the cases. Okay, so now, which one is it? is it the one before, and is it the one after? But if I would have said Mikra Nidrash Bein Lefanav Bein Liacharav, then the din would be that all three of them would be Lashikror, whether it was a relative, whether it was your own money, or whether it was some random person. If somebody pays the Akum for you, that's it. You go free. That's what I thought. So therefore, I now utilize the Be'ela to tell me that. So, okay. So then I'm back to asking you, how does Rabbi Akiva make sense? If it's saying Be'ela, what's it pointing to? I mean, the only one that it could possibly point to is, as Rabbi Yossi HaGalili said, the Be'ela is the people that are listed, the aforementioned people. Dodo, Ben Dodo. So how can Rabbi Akiva argue on that? You never explained how this works. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, fine. You know what? Let's give up on it. That's not what the machlokas is. It's a machlokas over here in terms of simple svara. That once we understand that the Torah wants you to distinguish, right? And if that's the case, I don't know precisely what the Be'ela would mean. So then, what do you think is more reasonable that the Torah is saying? It's more reasonable that the word is a reference to the Be'ela that are mentioned, right? So therefore, it just means if the Dodo Ben Dodo, they were not the ones who paid for you, then you go out Be'ova. So that means if it wasn't a relative, somebody else paid for you, then you're going to have to work for that guy. But Rabbi Akiva says, no, I'll tell you why that doesn't make sense. Because let's imagine, so Rabbi Yossi HaGalili says, obviously, Mistava Gula Sacherim L'Shi'ibud. Because if you're going to say, no, if you pay money for this guy, he goes out. Okay? Does that make sense? So the Torah is telling you, don't bother wasting your money. I mean, we're trying to encourage people to take him out of the Goy's Rishus, right? So we're saying, no, but if you pay money and take him out of the Goy's Rishus, so then he's not going to work for you. You're going to be throwing your money out. Okay. I mean, so therefore it makes more sense to say that the idea over here would be that if you're related to him, okay, so you have a sense of responsibility. That makes sense. We're talking to relatives. You can go ahead and you can pay money and he would go out to Shichrur. And since you're his uncle, since you're his cousin, we expect you to take a little bit of responsibility for your relatives, darn it, and pay money to get him out of the Goy's Rishus. But we're not going to say that to a stranger. Rabbi Akiva says just the opposite. Makes much more sense to say that the relative is going to pay money and then the guy's going to have to work for him, the Shibud. Why? Because think about this for a moment. If you're going to say that when your relative comes, that then he's not going to be able to work with you and you're going to then go out to freedom. So we've got a fantastic situation, right? We've got this black sheep of the family. The guy doesn't want to do any work. He's always gambling away all of his money. Every time he gambles away his money, what does he do? He goes and runs to the nearest guy, sells himself to the guy to pay his gambling debts. And he figures, what the heck? My relatives are going to have to come and rescue me, you know? And then I go out for free and I've lived to gamble another day. So says Rabbi Akiva, does that make sense? Makes much more sense to say, oh yeah, they'll take you out of the Rishus of the Goy, but you're going to work your rear end off for them. Don't think you're going to get out of anything. So therefore, it makes more sense to say just the opposite. Because Yamrit L'Shichrur, Koyuma V'yuma Ozo Mezabi Nafshi. Every day that this guy wants to go to Vegas, he just first goes and sells himself, comes out with a wad of cash, plays the slot machines, and then he comes back the next day. Oh, my dear uncle, I really got myself into trouble. Maybe you could come rescue me. Okay, so there's lots of people that do this even today. So therefore, it must be that the Torah did not give you that kind of rishus. All right. Okay, so meanwhile, we have this machlokas, and we're assuming that those are the only two shitas, right? But it turns out that that's not true. Amr Pri Barava, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. All of this is a machlokas, but that doesn't mean that there's no alternative. The Chachomim argue on both Rabbi Akiva and on Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. And they hold Hakol L'Shechrur, that everything goes basically free. And who are these Chachamim? Makes perfectly good sense. Now we're getting back to Rebbe, because remember, Rebbe used the word Be'elah to tell me that it's not Yotze B'Sheish. And therefore, we don't have Be'elah to point to one or the other of the ways in which the person is paying either a relative or another person. Be'elah is coming to talk about the type of Yetziah, not the type of person. So according to him, if it's a question of to whom is Shichrur and to whom is it working, it makes sense that it's the way we would normally understand a pasuk. How do we normally understand the pasuk? That it would go bein la'acharav, bein lefanav, bein la'acharav. And therefore, according to Rebbe, there's no question at all. All of them go out l'shichrur, because basically in the middle of this whole sugya, what does it say? In the middle of the sugya, it says, O isiga yado, isiga yado is obviously the shichrur. If that's the case, all of them are considered to be the shichrur. Okay, so, but now we're left with one fascinating question, which is, according to Rebbe, what does v'yatza b'shnat ha'yovel mean? So, hai b'shnat ha'yovel, according to the meaning in the pasukim, lo yiga el be'eleh, so then we need the v'yatza b'shnat ha'yovel to tell me there are cases where someone's going to pay for you, where you're going to have to work for him and until the yovel. But according to Rebbe, there is no case where somebody pays for you and you're going to work to him till the yovel. So why does it even mention yovel over here at all? I mean, I know the din of yovel. So why are we talking about all of a sudden, what, this coming now to tell me at the chiddush of yovel? Ah, that is a different issue completely. Because we know yovel. It said beferish, even the immediate pasuk before, it said v'shnat ha'yovel. So why do we talk about it here? Because we boy lekita tanya. The meaning of it is that, look, what kind of goy are we talking about over here? Is this a goy who lives under a Jewish government? Or is this a goy who lives under a Roman or a Persian-controlled government? That's the question. So now the issue is, obviously, it's talking about, coming to tell me, it's talking about an Oved Kochavim that is living under a Jewish government. And it's coming to tell me that in that event, if it's under a Jewish government, then he is going to have to still work until Yovel. Because like this, you would have thought, look, you know, if this has nothing to do, and I mean, we're not in control, so what are we going to do? We can't force this guy to leave him out. But in the event that the guy was under our control, and it's a Jewish-controlled government, so we have a right to institute anti-Oved Kochavim laws, you know. We'll say, if an Oved Kochavim, he goes ahead and buys a Jew, he is forced to relinquish the Jew. Comes along the pasuk to say that, no, this guy is not to be forced to relinquish the Jew. So in that case, it's got to be coming to teach me that exact halacha. There is no concept of you're forcing a guy to relinquish a Jew just because you don't like the idea of a Jew being in the Rishus of the Akum. Tough. Now you'll say, maybe indeed, maybe it's talking specifically about a guy that, where you don't control the government. The Romans control the government. The Turks control the government. Maybe that's when it's possible. Well, that's ridiculous. There would be no way to force the guy to relinquish the Evet. So why would the Torah bother telling us halacha? That makes no sense. What, that it's mutter? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it, my dear. So what good is it being mutter? So therefore, it's coming to tell me, Gufa, that even a goy that you control, you cannot force that goy to relinquish his control of this Jew. Now, Tosfos, this is an amazing and beautiful piece. Tosfos asks, but what about if you hold that Gezel Akum is mutter, huh? If Gezel Akum is mutter, so then why would we be saying that you're not allowed to put, I mean, you're even allowed to steal from him. So Kol Shekein, you'd be allowed to force him to let the Yisrael go during Yovel. So how could the Torah be telling you, sorry, you cannot make a law like that, that a goy has to relinquish his control over Yisrael? Fantastic question, right? Says Tosfos, no, stupid question. Because, look, it's one thing to say you could steal from a guy. It's a totally different thing to say. Listen, this is Tosfos's lashon. The hachasha oved kochavim batuach alav v'natan lo mo'ot al mecha gufa. The guy, what, you're thinking what, legalese? This is what it's about? It's about legalities? That you wouldn't have to give him back his money if you found it, and you could walk away with his money if it comes into your hands? What does that have to do with this case? That has to do with legal rights to money. This has to do with decency and human relationships. This guy relied on an actual transaction in which somebody told him, this is what I'm selling you. He's batuach alav, he trusts him. Treat him like a mensch, for God's sake. Obviously, you can't do something. Legally, it should be okay. Comes along the Torah to say there ain't no such concept of legally it should be okay when you entered into an understanding with another human being. And that has nothing to do with the concept of Geneva. Amazing. Anyway, it runs so counter to, unfortunately, the way that some people work.